You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at zibbyowens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the Zcast Podcast Network. You can learn more at zcastnetwork.com and definitely check out those shows as well. Ryan Ray Harbuck is the author of When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Chair, a memoir. A paralyzing car accident in her teens left Ryan with a new life to build. Rarely looking back, she became a swim coach and a high school teacher. She traveled to India for experimental stem cell treatment and fought hard to make the Paralympic swim team. She even became a mom. With so many stories to tell and lessons to learn, Ryan did the only thing she could. She wrote a book. Welcome, Ryan. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Chair, a memoir.
Thank you so much, Zibby. I am actually less nervous than I thought I would be, but I'm very giddy feeling about being here.
Aww.
Yeah, I will say that I am a little sick this morning because moms also don't have time to be sick. So bear with that a little bit.
I will bear with anything. No worries at all. I have a jackhammer outside my office. Oh, everything's perfect. Been delayed all day. You know, it's been one of those days, but I'm delighted to finally be talking to you. You know, your book, your story is so moving, and the way you write about it, I mean, I have a daughter, well, I have twins who are almost 16, and your story begins when you were paralyzed at age 16. And yes, the way you wrote about it through the lens of a teen, just a regular teen, like wanting to look cool and like hang out with the cool guy on the floor and, you know, break the rules and all that, you immediately like disarm the reader and make us just so, you take out any of the
not stigma, but just like any distance you might feel from somebody going through something else, you immediately like connect and you're like, let's do this together. I get you. Come along on my journey. Let me like take you through it. Anyway, that was a long way to introduce you.
I'll take it. I appreciate that.
So can you share your story with listeners and then end up with how it became a book?
Yeah. Well, so for all intents and purposes, my story begins when I was in a car accident at the age of 16. It was a very tragic event for, obviously, for me, for my family, and for our whole community, because it was this very sort of like well-publicized event where there was six teenagers coming back from a school dance and nobody really knows what happened. There were no drugs or alcohol involved, but the car ended up flying across a grass median on the highway and hitting another car. I was ejected out of the vehicle. And when I landed, I suffered a spinal cord injury. And so I am paralyzed from about my chest level down, both in feeling and in function and moving. But beyond that, I had collapsed my lungs. And so I wasn't breathing. I had broken both my arms and my legs. I was bleeding out from a spot where I had severed an artery. So I didn't realize it clearly at the time, but they didn't think that I was going to make it to the hospital, let alone anything beyond that. You know, and for whatever it's worth, my injuries weren't the worst of that night. Coming back from that dance, I was sitting next to my boyfriend at the time, and he was killed instantly on the impact of the accident. And we hit a car head on, and the driver of that car was killed instantly. And there were two kids in my car that suffered traumatic brain injuries, which, if any of your listeners are familiar with that sort of an injury, I would take having a spinal cord injury any day rather than having my brain injured. That one thing that, you know, really is who you are. But obviously I made it. I'm alive. I spent a lot of time in the hospital. I spent a month in the ICU unit and just sort of like getting my body to begin to heal. And it wasn't until about 2 months after the accident that I really started to understand what my new life would be, because, you know, being paralyzed now I was going to have to rely on using a wheelchair to get around. And luckily, I live in Colorado, which has one of the best spinal cord injury rehab facilities in the nation. And so I was able to go there to do some rehab once I was well enough. And that's when I kind of learned what this new change was going to be, this new life for myself. I always tell people that I think that I was really fortunate to have this accident happen when I was so young, because I was naive and, you know, still very carefree. And my biggest concern was, how am I going to get to the mall with my friends? Not how am I going to spend the rest of my life in this wheelchair? Like, that wasn't the biggest thing to me. It was, I want to figure out how I can get in my friend's car, or how can I wear my backpack so that I look cool. And that's really what my focus was. And I think that being that naive kid, but then also understanding that I now had a different kind of perspective on what life really is, and that maybe my peers didn't really understand that. I think those things in combination really saved me and really helped me to develop who I am today and to really sort of challenge others. And, you know, I think that in all of the events of my life, I've constantly been having these similar themes of, how do I get through this experience, and how do I reflect on it, and what does that do for me, and what does it not do for me? And all of those things in combination has really been able to teach me so much about myself and what I want and what I need, but also then to really understand those around me and the world around me.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What a story. Can I go back to your accident for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I know in the book you said you didn't remember any of it. Like, you don't remember anything that happened. Can you say, like, who was sitting where and what had happened that night before the accident? Like, do you remember all
sure,
of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually, you're 100% correct. So when you suffer something really traumatic, your brain is really, really amazing. And it has this ability to just kind of shut it off. And if it's something that's just going to be too much for you, your brain can actually just like completely dull it out and you have no recollection. So I really, truly don't have a memory from even the day before until about a week later. Wow. I do have these almost like photographic snapshot images of things from that evening or even the day earlier. And then I have a couple of like blips of memories from being in the hospital initially, but I do have zero memory of the actual accident. And so everything that I know about it, I've pieced together from mostly the paramedics, state troopers, those people that were actually at the scene that evening. Most of the kids that I was with don't have any memories either, or they have very kind of like fleeting memories of the events. And because of all of that, I really don't have a huge emotional tie to it either. So it makes it just kind of like this story that I have learned once and I keep telling over and over again. But as for the night, I do know that, you know, we did kind of, we were typical teenagers in the 90s, and we went and I think we played laser tag, and then we went to dinner, and then we went to the dance. And then while we were at the dance, we met up with another group of friends who they were like, hey, we're going to go midnight bowling. You guys should come with us. And so that's actually what we decided to do. And that's where we were en route to go as the accident happened. And we were in a suburban SUV, if you know, it's kind of a big car. My friend that was driving the car, that was her dad's car that she had borrowed for the night. And we thought it was really excellent because all of us could fit in the car, no problems. We didn't have to rent a limousine or anything like that. And so it was really slick. We all had, you know, our appropriate seats. My boyfriend and I were in the very back of the Suburban in, I think they're like smaller seats. Mm-hmm. And so when the accident happened, from what I was told, I flew through the side window, the side back window of the Suburban. And the paramedics actually told me later on that I was so far away from the vehicle when they arrived that they didn't know where I was. They couldn't find me. They knew from piecing it together, they knew that there were three boys and three girls, but they did have trouble finding me at first, which is kind of wild.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then you went to the hospital. How was your family at this time? I'm sorry to even go back. I'm just like, you know.
No. I'm glad to talk about all of this because it's, you know, it's so, I talk about it so often that I miss pieces. And so it's nice to kind of get drawn back to the things that may be super important that I don't necessarily see at the time. So for my family had started kind of falling apart even before my accident. So there was a lot of tension and a lot of miscommunication or lack of communication happening that I was aware of, but not in a heightened sense. I was, you know, I was a kid. And so I didn't know any better. So when my accident happened, I think it sort of escalated everything. I mean, you're a mom, you understand this wholly, I'm sure, that when you witness something tragic happen to somebody else, sometimes that's worse. Mm-hmm. Because you feel very at loss, very out of control. And so I have always said that I think my accident has been harder on my family than it ever has been for me. Because when it's you, when it involves you, you have a little bit of say over it. You have a little bit of control. But when you're watching somebody else struggle or somebody else go through something, that is far more difficult to deal with. And so I think still to this day, my parents, I have a younger sister, they all have lost things because of my accident. And they have all struggled, I think, more than I have because of my accident. And I, you know, as a daughter and a sister, like, I don't know what to do with that. You know, I hold it and I support them, you know, but it's one of those things that it's sort of the way that nature works itself.
Wow. So what happened? Take us through sort of the trajectory of the story after the accident.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Sure. So I tried my best after my accident, after I was released from the hospital, I really tried my best to be the most normal, average kid I could possibly be, and probably to a fault. And I spent many, many years trying to just really be this very typical, uninteresting, unnoticeable person. And looking back, I almost laugh about it because it was so silly that I worked so hard at this sort of thing. And then it wasn't until many, many years later that I sort of forced the realization that that's not me anymore. That's not my life. I need to embrace who I am and the challenges that I face and move myself forward. And so I had a fairly typical college experience. I actually studied biology in college. I think that I developed a real appreciation for like the human body and the way things work after my accident. And so that sort of led me to fall into that path. Although looking back, I was always writing. I was always writing journal type entries, blogs, things like that. And so I kind of could kick myself now that it took me so long to actually prove myself to be a writer. However, you know, your path leads you to wherever you're supposed to go eventually. From there, swimming has always been a huge part of my life. I was a swimmer all growing up. Swimming, I will say again and again, has saved me so many different times through my life. And after my accident, it became the one thing that I could still do that was a bridge to my life before, and I didn't need my wheelchair to do it. And so because of that, it continued to be a really big and impactful part of my life, so much so that I began coaching swimming. And from that, it gave me a real connection to kids and teenagers. And I began hearing myself telling these stories that I had been through over and over again, these life lessons that I had learned, the mistakes I had made. And I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed the connection with younger kids and people that sort of needed to hear those stories. And so from coaching, that led me to teaching. And I taught high school biology for almost 10 years. During that time, I started to compete in swimming again. I had gone through a really nasty health scare, probably in my fifth year of teaching. Being a paraplegic and not being able to feel and move, I had developed a wound and it had been growing from the inside out. And by the time I was sick enough to recognize it, it was kind of too late. And so I spent 8 months in bed for that to heal. And there were so many different things that were happening. The doctors didn't understand why it wasn't healing. And they just kept telling me I had to lay in bed. And at the time, I had bought a house up in the mountains by myself. And so I was living by myself in the mountains. And I had had a healthcare nurse coming in every other day to check on me. But otherwise, I was laying in bed and I wasn't doing anything. I couldn't do anything. I had to quit teaching. I had to quit coaching. And that was, if there was any point in my entire life that I felt true depression, it was during that time. And I write a chapter in my book about it. And I write it as I've befriended a spider on the wall. And I talked to the spider because that's how dark it was. I had nothing at that point. I had friends and family, they would come and visit. And it was almost worse because they'd come and they'd bring me, cookies or whatever, and then they'd be on their way. And it was just so hard for me to understand that at that point I wasn't living. My life was not moving forward. I was stuck. So once I finally was well enough and began to heal, I realized that what was saving me was every night I would go to bed and I would dream about swimming. And I would just dream about being, in that weightless pool and, using my muscles and almost in a meditative sort of sense. And so as soon as I was well enough, I wouldn't say I was medically cleared, but as soon as I felt like I could actually get out of bed, I started secretly going to the pool and swimming. And it wasn't long until I decided, I made this promise to myself that I was going to start competing again. And I was going to see what happens when you put 100% of yourself into something. And I really held on to that notion right away. And I wanted to almost be this poster child for my students and my swimmers, look what you can accomplish if you put all of yourself into something. And so I began training at 3:30 in the mornings because I had to get ready and go teach a full day and then coach after that. And so really, if I was going to do this training, it had to be then. And I look back now and I have no idea how I actually managed to do that. I did that for 2 years solid. And I started going to different Paralympic competitions. Most of those are not easy to get to. They're not local. There's not a lot of them. And so I was having to do fundraising and just kind of out of pocket funding for my own self to just really follow this dream and this burning desire that I needed to see what I had inside of me. And so my ultimate goal was I wanted to make the Paralympic team that following year. And so I trained for 2 years solid to make it to the Paralympic trials. And I was actually very proud of myself. I was constantly making better times and improving. And I got put on a select team to swim for the US at the Pan Am Games that year and all of these things. And everything felt like it was really coming together. And I felt like I was really doing the thing that I had set out to. And I went to the Paralympic trials in 2012. And I had just this wonderful, almost this warm feeling of something really important is going to happen here. And it wasn't even tied necessarily to swimming, but it was just this notion that there is something really important behind this event. And I swam really well. I made mostly best times. I was very proud of everything. And the meet was 5 days. They finished the meet and then they kind of just shuffle all the athletes into this small conference room and read off the names of the Paralympic swimmers that will join the Paralympic team. And my name wasn't on that list. And I remember looking at my, I had my best friend there with me, and it was almost like, wait a minute, I had planned from point A to Z, and I just finished Z, and what I never actually thought about, what am I going to do after this list is put out there, whether I make the team or not, like what happens next? And I remember kind of piling into our small rental car and thinking like, okay, you can cry now, you can cry, it's all right. But yet I had just this overwhelming feeling of contentment because I knew that I had done everything in my power to make it. And there was nothing, there was no regret involved. There was no, I wish I would have done this. But beyond that, the very last night of the meet, I was about to swim my last finals race. And I had had this brief encounter with this coach. He was new to Paralympic swimming. And so we had kind of talked about how rules are different, things are different, let's exchange numbers and I'll help you out. And, you know, suddenly my mind was shifting and something felt really important about that. And this same coach ended up being on our flight on the way home. And we were flying from Bismarck to Denver, and he was taking Bismarck to Denver to go back to North Carolina. So it was super bizarre anyways that he was on this flight. But I, you know, tried to talk to him a little bit before we got on the flight. And then it was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. We need to go home. And I was talking to my friend about it. And the whole way home, we kind of sat in silence. And then we deplaned in Denver, and we got off the plane and I went to use the bathroom. And then I get a text from my friend and she said, where are you? Needless to say, I find her and she's standing there with this coach. And she says, we're all going to go get a beer now. And it was like, okay. However, I knew that her mom was like circling the airport to come pick us up, but it was just like, okay, that's fine. And long story short, after having this beer, connecting with this coach, we started emailing, texting, and then that soon led to like Skype dates. And within 3 months of meeting him, we were married.
What? Oh my gosh.
And that is, you know, one of the things, thinking about writing my book, as I was writing it back then, and I thought I knew how it was going to end. I thought I knew what the last chapters were going to be. And from that moment that I met him, everything changed from that piece. And that's such like a beautiful notion. I feel like everybody needs to kind of sit down and even just outline the chapters of your own memoir, because it really, to be able to like internalize what you think is important and what you think that your life is, and then watch it visibly change for you is super powerful.
Oh my gosh. That was the most inspiring, amazing story. Oh my gosh. Ryan, you're an incredible human being, and I'm just honored to hear it straight from you, your life story. And I want to know every detail. I'm going to go back to the book and all of that. You know, I had Mallory Wegman. Do you know her?
Yep.
Anyway, she's been on the podcast, and my husband is actually making her story into a feature film right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's very cool. Anyway, I'm well versed in Paralympic trials actually, and all of that. And I'm so sorry you didn't make it. That seems just cruel and unnecessary punishment, but obviously it led to something great. But your spirit and being able to adapt and take in all of it and still sit here with like the sunshine is like beaming in through the window, and you know, your optimism and like your spirit, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I just am in awe and impressed and just so honored to have even chatted this much with you.
Oh, well, likewise, truly.
Well, I hope that we can stay in touch. I want to like hear more and like keep hearing.
Yeah.
I want you to like tell me everything ever happened to you and more. And
absolutely. My gosh. Next time we'll talk about being moms.
Yeah. And you have kids? Oh my gosh. How many kids do you have?
Two boys, actually.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Yes, we can commiserate on that. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story and writing it. And I want to hear all more about the process of writing it. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm so glad to connect.
You too.
I feel pretty honored.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.